Cooper's Landing last Sunday afternoon was abuzz with bicyclists navigating the Katy Trail, drivers taking the long way home to Columbia from the Hartsburg Pumpkin Festival, and the community of those encamped at the marina. With its combination of gas, Thai delicacies from a semi-permanent food trailer, and riverside concerts, Cooper's Landing is a special place to regular admirers of the Missouri River. This is Trevor Harris, and Cooper's Landing is where I found Churchill Clark. His commute to work is extremely short. It's about four steps from his Sierra Design tent to the two dugout canoes that he's been working on. That's when Mike Cooper made the decision to take down an aging cottonwood tree at the marina along the banks of the Missouri River in southern Boone County.
My name is Churchill Clark, and I carve dugout canoes. And I paddle them all over the country.
What brought you to Cooper's Landing?
Actually, a friend brought me. My last project was out in Washington, and when I finished, I went to Denver to visit family, and a gentleman from Sturgeon out here came out and picked me up to drag me back here and work on a white oak that he had secured. And he had an ash that he wanted me to work on, but we had trouble getting it, and I actually came to Cooper's Landing. We came to Cooper's Landing just to ask Mike if I could bring the ash down here, and I knew Mike Cooper would be up for this idea of a project. It's just a perfect place for a canoe camp, but he already had a tree that he was taking down, a big cottonwood, and he said, "What about this?" And I took one look at it, and and she was a big canoe, but I said, "Okay, you know, I can give that tree new life." And it turns out we have two canoes out of the same tree. I've never had that happen before. It was May. We started carving May 14th. It was about a week before when we dropped the tree.
So here we are 5 months later. How are things looking?
There's a lot of wood chips. not nearly as many as we've made. We've used them for fires around here. But we're well more than halfway into it. I'm really hoping by the end of October that we're getting close to the finish, but I still got a bit of work to do.
What first drew you to the idea of taking a fallen tree and digging a canoe out of it?
During the Lewis and Clark bicentennial, there was a reenactment, and I was involved in that. And it was a lifelong dream of mine to follow the trail and experience it as much as I could, like William did. And I actually fell into a full-fledged reenactment with the guys in St. Charles, the Discovery Expedition. And I had the great honor of boarding a 55-foot, 7-ton wooden keelboat and came up the river. And that's the first time I showed up here at Cooper's. It was in 2004. And 2.5 years later, came back paddling trees. And I retraced William's footsteps because William Clark is my great-great-great-great-grandfather, and that's the tie-in there. And that's why I always wanted to do it. Retracing his footsteps, I kind of fell in love with making the canoes. I worked on my first one in 2005 in Lewiston, Idaho, 26-foot Ponderosa, and we had 11 days to carve it out. And got it done. We had guys chopping sun up to sundown, three guys on the canoe at all times, and did get it done. And then paddled that one down to the ocean and turned around and came back, long story short. But nothing was right in my life until years later I had a bad wreck, and I broke my face and my back, and I was blind, and I didn't know what to do, and this cottonwood found me in Denver, Colorado, in Littleton. I wound up carving the tree that became Noddy, the dugout canoe, and it was part of my healing. And I paddled her across Nebraska blind. It was kind of silly, but I did it. And she really changed my life. I got back focused, and I decided I needed to carve canoes. Got one eye working more or less now, and I can see good enough to chop and definitely good enough to paddle, which is a bonus.
What was the experience like of paddling blind across Nebraska?
Well, it was highly difficult. I had a guy that was inexperienced in the bow, and he didn't have very good eyes, and I was in the stern, and I really couldn't see anything except the blur. Well, I couldn't read the water. When I finally got some real paddlers in there, some friends of mine, it was much easier because they had good eyes and they had river sense and they knew how to keep us out of trouble. But you know, we had one point where we actually flipped the canoe because I didn't see a sweep coming out from the bank, and the guy told me too late. Things happen, and paddling blind is not recommended.
We've got two canoes here. What are you looking for? What makes the ideal dugout canoe?
Well, honestly, I start with when I do these is flattening the bottom right away to give them the stability they need, and all canoes are flat bottom. Sometimes they have rounded edges, which make them faster. But size is everything. You need it wide. Yeah, like you say, you have to be able to get in it. So. And when you're looking at cottonwoods, you know, you've got 3 or 4 inches of bark all the way around it, plus 1 to 2 inches of sapwood. So you're talking about a foot, you know, coming off of that thing before you even get started. So, you know, when you look at a tree and you think that's wide enough, you got to think, is it really? So it's got to be big. And then, you know, everything else is gravy. I mean, you want it straight. You want it ideally with no knots in it, no branches, that sort of thing. Getting the perfect tree is almost impossible, but they all have their own unique characteristics, and I like to work with what the tree gives me and what it tells me, really.
That's the voice of Churchill Clark, a direct descendant of Louisiana Territory explorer William Clark, and this is Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Since last May, Churchill Clark has been carving the cottonwood tree that was felled at Cooper's Landing into not one but two dugout canoes. I visited with him this past Sunday at his encampment at Cooper's Landing. I asked him approximately how far along he was on completing his two dugout canoes.
I'd say we're probably about 70-75% done. That's a guess. I'm trying to focus on the smaller one, Juicy Lucy, here right now and see if I can paddle her next weekend over to Lupus for the Chili Fest. Either one would paddle right now. They're just a little heavy, and moving them is a little difficult still. So, but yeah, they're actually both roomy enough to get into, and they would sit upright, no problem.
So what is the destiny for these two dugouts?
That is something I can't even tell you. I don't know yet. I'm not even sure what journey we're going on, it is unique. I like I said, I've never gotten two out of one tree, and it's been a little bit much for me to take this on because of my back. I don't usually carve this long in one shot. 5 months. Usually it's 3 months for a canoe, roughly, and I would have finished one by now for sure. So it's been a little difficult. It's hard to say. It really is. My goal is to start selling them. I actually have... an ad on Craigslist right now to trade one for rent to get myself situated out here and for a year or two, depending on the place. And I've got some very interesting offers already. So, the potential for these things is amazing, and marketing is not my forte, and neither is making money, frankly. It just doesn't interest me, but I do need to, and I need to find a way to go ahead and get these to somebody that will appreciate them. So. I'm looking to work with the interpreter centers on the trail, in particular on the Lewis and Clark Trail, to start off, and we'll take it from there. But right now, you know, they're up for grabs on my website, dugoutcanoelove.com, for anybody who wants them.
October the 9th, and Churchill Clark is staying at Cooper's Landing. His home is a Sierra Designs tent under a tarp. There's two dugout canoes that are about 75% done, and it's going to start getting cold.
And already have. The plan is either trade one for a place or a proper. I'm even looking at houseboats, including the one behind the canoe there. I'm looking at just setting myself some roots here in the Columbia area. And there are enough big trees out here, and I am on the Missouri River and on the Lewis and Clark Trail. So it's a wonderful place for me. And I actually have a beautiful lady who's a singer around here. That's with me as well, and I've got a lot of reasons to stay, and so that's the goal. Just one way or another, hopefully get some value out of the canoes and set myself up, and then take it from there. I'm likely to start talking at the schools again, doing Lewis and Clark presentations, that sort of thing.
as Churchill Clark has been paddling up and down the Missouri River. He's met a lot of people. Two of those people are directors of the new film, The American Artist, The Life and Times of George Caleb Bingham. I've got them coming up on the program. They'll talk about the film that premieres this Saturday, October 15th at 3:30 p.m. at the Lyceum Theater in Arrow Rock. Here, Churchill Clark describes how he was discovered by the pair of filmmakers and ultimately had a role, albeit small, in The American Artist, The Life and Times of George Caleb Bingham.
That's a crazy story. I was paddling the Missouri River last year, and as I was actually, I think I'd just gotten through Omaha, and coming downriver, and Wide Awake Films got a hold of me and showed interest in renting my dugout canoe for the movie, a movie they were working on, just a one-day shoot, they said. And I said, I think I could do that if it's only one day. And it just the timing was impeccable. I knew I'd be in the area. I said, I can't tell you exactly where, but I'll let you know and you can scoop me up. They did a wonderful job. In the end, I wound up paddling the canoe, speaking French, and it was crazy. I wound up paddling my canoe in this movie, and we actually recreated in a scene. We recreated George Caleb Bingham's inspiration for this famous painting of his. I believe it's Fur Traders Ascending the Missouri. Ascending or descending, I can't remember. And anyway, that's the painting. And it is a very famous painting. We're actually in the movie trailer right now that they just threw out. I'll be there in Arrow Rock at the Lyceum Theater on Saturday at 3:30 for the premiere. Unbelievable. I couldn't have written that. When I came down the river, I didn't know this was going to happen. And it was just a perfect fit. And I'll tell you, Wide Awake Films is a top-notch professional organization. Great people to work with. And it was an honor. And I'm thrilled to be part of that.